God. I want to invite you to open your Bibles up to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Today, we'll be looking at verses beginning there in the middle of the chapter. Last week, we preached on the first story of Christmas through verse 25, I believe. So we'll pick up in verse 26 as another important person in the story of Christmas is introduced to us. This message today is part of our series, Pondering These Things, and we want to be as Mary was, as it explained to us in the book of Luke chapter 2. All of these things she pondered in her heart, which means to reflect upon deeply this Christmas. I hope that you'll reflect upon these messages and these truths that we find as we preach. Leading up until Christmas. I will tell you this week that I had difficulty. I was very busy, and so I didn't get everything I wanted done. So this is our only slide today. So you will have to do it the old-fashioned way, all right? We'll have to keep up in our Bibles, right? And listen to what the preacher's saying. And I'm sorry about that, but we'll just have to try it out. But the message this morning is entitled, A Gift of Grace. A Gift of Grace. If you found the book of Luke chapter 1, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the gospel of Jesus Christ beginning in verse 26? It says in verse 26, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Verse 37, a key verse here. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, God, for the reading of your word. What a special word that it is. The delivery, the arrival of the Holy Son of God, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Christ. God, we're so grateful that one day you saw fit to come to this earth as a man in the form of Jesus Christ, to give yourself up as an offering for our sins and to live a holy life so that that atonement would be worthy. And then after that, arise from the grave 3 days later so that we might have the hope of life beyond death. God, what an incredible promise was given in your word. And we see it here now being fulfilled in the life of this woman named Mary. God, bless us as we study your word. Bless us as we consider this gift of grace. Help us, Lord, to understand that, God, it's not about what we can do, but, God, it's all about what you can do. Save someone today, Lord, if it be according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So one of the things I think that makes Christmas so fun, so special, are the gifts that we give and receive. I saw some of you crack a little smile at that thought. Some of you still like gifts. You're not too holy. I can see it. And certainly we enjoy the giving of gifts as well, for it's said that it's better to give than it is to receive. Have you ever heard that old motto, it's the thought that counts? Well, one year a man received a fancy candle from his aunt, who proudly told him that she'd picked it out just for him. He opened the box to reveal a candle that he'd given to her the previous Christmas. To make matters worse, the price tag that he forgot to take off was still on the bottom of the candle. I guess it's the thought that counts. I don't know. Gifts and Christmas are inseparable, especially if you're younger, if you're one of our children, though our children aren't up here right now. The thing that they get excited about, most certainly, when Christmas starts coming around, is the thought of receiving some wonderful gifts. And obviously, there's a lot to think about when we think about gifts. Giving and receiving, especially in that giving, choosing a gift, is a huge consideration. But I think the reason why the gifts are given is interesting as well. Why would you give someone a gift at Christmas? Well, there's many reasons. It could be because they've given you a gift, and you certainly don't want to be so rude as to not also give them a gift, right? Someone gives you a gift, my goodness. You want to give them a gift back. It could be because it's expected that you'll give a gift. Sometimes we have those relationships in our lives where there's the expectation. Now, what are you going to get me for Christmas? All right. It could be because you want something from them. Well, I'd like to get this or that, and maybe I can grease the wheels by giving you a gift first. Could be because they want something from you. They've told you what they want, and so you have the ability to get it, and so you give it to them because they told you. But you know, I believe that the best kind of gifts are the just-because gifts. You know what I'm talking about? That unexpected, unasked-for gift that you weren't looking for, gift that you weren't thinking about. I think that's really the best kind of gift. Maybe even an undeserved gift. How about that? You didn't really do anything to earn it, but somebody just felt blessed, and they wanted to give it to you. A gift of love. A gift given because someone cared. A gift provided by the giver with no expectation of it ever being repaid. That's a sweet gift, isn't it? You know, we can say many things about what Christmas has become, couldn't we? I mean, come on. I think the funniest thing is seeing everybody put their Halloween decorations up. There's some folks here in our region who put those giant skeletons up, you know what I'm talking about? They're like 12 feet tall. Those things are terrifying, all right? But then after Christmas, you know what they do? They put a Santa suit on it, all right? It's like, come on, what are we doing here, all right? Is this really what Christmas is about? There's one thing, however, that we have to say. The giving of gifts are not something that's been added to Christmas. The giving of gifts have been there since the beginning. It's part of Christmas down to its core. And in fact, the gift that God gave is the reason for Christmas. I want us to consider this morning that gift. And I want us to talk about how special it was and what it meant for all who received it. So I'll share with you three individuals, groups of individuals, whatever it is, recipients, who received a gift that first Christmas that we can see here from this passage. Number one, we see that it was a gift to Mary. We see that it was a gift to Mary. That first Christmas, the Lord gave Mary a very special gift. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Mary. As far as we know, Mary was just a teenage girl from Nazareth, which was not a place that was really considered that well-to-do to the Jewish people. They didn't really have a lot to say that was kind about the region of Galilee where Nazareth was. In fact, that's why the scripture says, is there any good thing that could come out of Nazareth? People kind of looked down upon those that came from Nazareth. She was, of course, betrothed, as the scripture says, to Joseph. They were too soon to be officially married. They had moved past this engagement stage, and now they were in the betrothal stage. And as such, as the Bible confirms here, she was a virgin. And that's important. She had not known a man. She was in waiting for her soon-to-be husband. And finally, as I've told you here just a few moments ago, she was not someone that really anyone had would have given much thought to. You know, in those days and age, they were different. We can't say maybe we're that far from then, but we have progressed, you know, quite a bit. And in that day and age, a person from Galilee, person from Nazareth, just a woman, you know, a young woman, a teenage girl, she was not someone that many people would have known. She was not anybody that, you know, kings would have recognized. Not someone that would have had books or poems written about her. And in fact, if it were not for what happened and the gift that God gave, she's a person who would have lived and died on this earth and we'd have never known her name. But God did give a gift to her. And we do know her name. And we know something very important about her because of that. You know, this Mary, in other words, though she was not someone that you would have thought would have been chosen for anything special, even though she was a person who was a sinner just as much as the rest of us, I think that's important to be said. You know, she was a good person as far as we can tell. The angel has many good words for her, but she was not someone who could escape the reality of the sin curse. She was cursed from Adam's sin just as much as the rest of us are. She met the description in the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 6. Isaiah talks about the state of humanity. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are us filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. That's what Mary was, like you and I. She was a sinner. I know Mary has become something of an object of at least great admiration. Some can even call her an object of worship. We would not do that. Some can say many things about her that may or may not be true. But what we know for a fact, okay? What we know for a fact is that she was a sinner, just like you and I are. She had fallen short of the grace of God. She had not met the standard. And she was not someone, just like you and I, who was worthy of any good thing, except that God, in His infinite mercy and grace, looked upon her with favor. Can we just pause right there for a second? God saw this unknown, unremarkable young girl who was a sinner just like us. And the Bible says that she had been given favor by God. Twice, the angel describes Mary as one who was favored by God. Not as one who was highly skilled in the scriptures. Not a perfect follower of the law. Not the most holy person on the planet. None of those things capture what made Mary special. What made Mary special is that God had chosen to gift her with this precious gift. That was what made her special. She found His favor. She had not earned it. She had not won it. She had not done anything to obtain it. God, who sees everyone and sees everything, had looked upon her and decided in His infinite mercy and wisdom to simply give her this incredible gift. And do you know why God did that? Because God is gracious. It says more about God than it does about Mary that God chose Mary for this special gift. God's grace, God's favor could have fallen upon anyone, but we're told in the Bible that he chose Mary for it. It could have fallen upon queens. It could have fallen upon important established people. It could have fallen upon those who would have already been remembered by history. But instead, God chose this young girl. Theologian Carlo Corretto says, "What an immense grace God is capable of giving. But how did I come to deserve it after so many sins? Truly, our God is a God of mercy. He loads you with gifts at the very time you're giving him no thought, or worse, betraying him." Church, Mary was nothing special, but God's grace, God's gift, made her special that day. Because the gift came with the promises. The angel says, "The Lord is with thee," because you're favored. Church, is there anything better than to know that the Lord is with you? Joshua crossed the Jordan with the children of Israel following him. He stood before a nation filled with chariots of iron and giants and all of these obstacles and people who would stand against him. They would gather into their cities. They would shut their doors. They would just dare the children of Israel to come and try to overcome them. But you know what? Propelled Joshua forward. The Lord had promised that he'd be with him. Church, I'm telling you today, if you believe the promise that the Lord is with you, there's nothing that can stand before you. If the Lord is for you, and you trust him, and you're obeying him, and you're obedient to his will, there's nothing that can stand against you. Mary was about to be caught up into something that she had not asked for or earned, but she found favor with God, and because of God's gracious favor, now the Lord has promised to be with her. Aren't you grateful, Christian, that God's grace found you, and that now you can stand here today saying that God is with me as well. He's promised to be with me to the end of the age. Not only that, the angel said, "Blessed art thou among women." See, God's grace took something unremarkable. God's grace took something that would not have been remembered. God's grace took something, someone who was not worthy of it, and made her worthy of it. Now she's blessed among women. Mary was simply one of the first among many to receive the gift of grace that Christ brings into our lives. Church, I hope you've been able to follow me here. This gift that Mary received, it was unmerited. That's what grace is. That's what favor is. You don't deserve it, but God gives it to you anyway. Isn't that good? God blesses you, though you don't deserve it. But in blessing you, he changes everything about you. Number two, it was not just a gift to Mary, but it was also a gift to Israel. We see that in verses 31 through 33. The angel begins to talk about who this gift will be. That first Christmas, God gave Israel a special gift. Now listen, Mary was told she'll bring forth a son. That's a blessing in and of itself. Every Jewish woman wanted to have a son to continue the line of their lineage, to bless them and support them in their old age, to be able to take their name and progress forward into history with it. That was a blessing in and of itself. But then the angel continues, he won't be just any son, he'll be great. He'll be Jesus, the Son of the Highest. He will be a king. Now listen, woo, that's good. Ain't that good? Wouldn't it be great if you were told that your child would be a great king? I mean, that'd be a blessing in itself, right? You know, I would like, boy, I don't know what Hayes was going to be. But I wouldn't be bothered if she's like a rich billionaire, all right? I like that. That won't hurt my feelings one bit, Lord. All right? Maybe like double president or something. I don't know. I don't know how it gets there. But I'd be okay with that, all right? That'd be fine. But to imagine being told that your child's going to be a king. But not just any king. Not just any king. He's going to be a king who rules from the throne of David, something that the sons and daughters of Israel had been praying for 100 generations. There had not been a king in Israel for many, many years. They desired greatly that a king would come and set them free from their bondage, set them free from their oppressors. So to have a king on their throne, what a gift. But again, not just any king. Y'all know that kings have shelf lives. We call them reigns. You all know what a shelf life is? Sometimes I go in the kitchen, I want to make me a sandwich. I get my bread down, and then I realize that my bread ain't good no more. Because it's got green spots on it. And I say, could I eat it? Isn't that fun? Isn't that we have that conversation with yourself? It's just a small spot. I could just, you know. But I've read on the internet where they say, if you see one spot, it's all through the bread. See, this is Janet knows. So then I throw it away. I'm like, man, I guess I want you a sandwich. I'll just put some jelly on some crackers, I guess, and that'll be good enough. Bread has a shelf life. Kings have a shelf life. He's going to be king. He's going to be king of Israel. That's great. That'll last what? 30, 40, maybe 50 or 60 years, right? That's how long kings reign. Queen Elizabeth was queen for I don't know how long. But she was queen for a long time. But then eventually what happened? Passed away. She's gone. And now we have a new king. Long live the king, right? Kings have an expiration date. In other words, but not this king. He'll rule from the throne of David forever, and to his kingdom there will be no end. What? A king whose reign will never end? Listen, we can't appreciate that. In the ancient world, they knew that leaders had shelf lives. When a leader eventually left office, sometimes because somebody killed him, you know, then there would be a transition of power. And in the ancient world, a transition of power was a very serious time because it might not go well. In America, we've been blessed. We've been going now for about 250 years, just about. And we've had peaceful transition of power to peaceful transition of power, mostly, all right, for about 250 years. We don't, you know, January's going to come and pass, and it's just going to be like a normal Tuesday to us. Right? We don't care, right? Whatever, all right? New president, great, okay? But that's not what it was like for the ancient world. The ancient world, when a new leader took their throne, that was a time of turmoil. That was a time of uncertainty. I don't know what's going to happen, right? But not with this king. When this king takes his throne, he'll never get off of it. He'll reign from it forever and ever. And never again will Israel be without a king. You'll have a king on your throne, the throne of David, until the ever after, time immemorial, King Jesus will reign upon the throne. Can somebody say hallelujah? King Jesus is still reigning on his throne today. Is that not a good thing today, church? King Jesus was promised to Israel here in this passage as a king who would reign forever and ever. No nation has ever received a gift like that. But church, that's the kind of gift that God's grace bestows. It doesn't have a shelf life, God's grace. His gifts, they're good forever. When you consider it in those terms, it brings even more joy to the words of what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Think about that. You're going to have a son, Mary. Oh, that's good. You're going to have a king, Mary. Oh, that's good. You're going to have a king whose reign will never end, Mary. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise Yahweh. What a gift. I'll close this second point here just by saying, church, Israel right now has a king. They have a prime minister. What's his name? Benjamin Netanyahu? I can't say it, all right? I did the best I could. But he's not their king. Their king is in heaven at the right hand of his Father. And you know he's waiting right now? He's waiting for his Father to turn over and look at him and say, you know what? It's time for you to go back to that earth and sit upon your throne. it's time for you to reign. As was promised, I'm the Lord, I'll deliver. So Jesus, go to the earth. I'm waiting for that church today, aren't you? I'm waiting to see my King come back, aren't you? What a gift was given to Israel. It's grace. I hope you're seeing. It's grace that has no end. That's what we get with God and His gifts. Unmerited grace. Unending grace. But then that brings us to number three, finally. Not only was it a gift to Mary, not only was it a gift to Israel, but finally we see that it was a gift to the whole world too. It was a gift to the whole world. We see that in verses 34 through 38. That first Christmas, God gave the whole world a special gift. Let me tell you something about this gift, church. It was the perfect size. It was the perfect fit. Have you ever gotten a gift and you try to put it on and it's like, oh, this don't fit very well. I'm going to have to take this back, right? Never happened to you? I wish this gift was for me, but I don't think I can use it. Nice that it was given, though. It's the thought that counts, right? That is not what this gift was. This gift that was given us, it started with Mary, then it extended to Israel, but then it came to bless everyone on this earth. This gift is not just a child. He's the Son. He's not just a Son. He's the King. He's not just a King, but a King with no end to His kingdom. And He's not just an eternal King. He's the eternal King, only begotten by the Son, by the Father in heaven. He's the Son of God. He's the answer that the whole world has been waiting for. He's the one of whom Paul wrote in Romans 8:21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the whole glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. All of creation was waiting for this Jesus. He's the answer to God's promise in Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He's the one that was spoken of in the garden as the Lord cursed the serpent and said in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Church, and if you're saved today, if you're a member of God's holy church, it's because you've believed on the name of this man, King Jesus, the Son of God, the one who John said, taketh away the sins of the world. Is that not a great gift we received at Christmas, church? That was your first Christmas gift provided 2,000 years ago. You weren't even looking for it. You didn't even know it was available. But it was provided for you before the foundations of the world. That's the gift that was given to the world. And I love what Mary responds to that with. She responds with a question. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now that was a question not of unbelief. Last week, Gabriel told Zacharias what was going to happen with Elizabeth and John. And he said, how can this be because I'm an old man? And we know the difference between these two questions because we see what the result was. Zacharias was cursed, basically, because of his unbelief. Gabriel says that. You won't speak for 9 months. Mary, a young girl, remember, just a young girl. She just doesn't know how it's going to work. How is it possible? It's not unbelief. She wants to believe. She will believe. But how is it supposed to work that this thing, how can it be? And the answer that's given is one of the best answers that has ever been spoken on the face of the earth. Are you listening to me? This is something that ought to be underlined, highlighted, you know, page ear down, put the little ribbon in there. This is something that you ought to hear and listen to every day of your life. With God, nothing shall be impossible. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? That's the best answer there is. Well, how is this going to happen? How is God going to do this? How is God going to do that? I wish I could believe it. I wish I could live to see it. Are you not listening? With God, nothing is impossible today. That's what he told Mary about this gift that would bless the whole world. This is the answer, church, that satisfies our souls this morning. Stay with me for just a moment. I'm about to close. Church, I don't know how God can save a terrible sinner like me. I don't understand it. I don't know how God has written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life today. I don't know how it is that I have a mansion in heaven prepared for me with my name on it waiting for me. But praise God this morning, I may not understand how, I do understand why. With God, nothing's impossible. First Christmas, God's gift to the whole world proves that grace has no limit. God wasn't deterred in any way by the limit of Mary's understanding. He's not frustrated today by the limit of yours. God's grace is unmerited. God's grace is unending. And God's grace is without limit. So we'll close this morning. What a gift was given that first Christmas, church. It was a gift of grace. It was grace without merit. Mary found favor with God. She didn't earn it. She didn't deserve it. God simply expressed his divine favor upon her. It was grace without end. Israel received an answer to its greatest prayer, a king, a Messiah, whose reign would never end. God didn't stop or start with their obedience or their disobedience. He had a grace that has its own shelf life. Finally, it was grace without limit. How shall this be? Mary asked, not understanding the small how it could be accomplished. But God answered the bigger question. As the angel responded with, God, Mary, nothing's impossible. How will Jesus take away the whole sins of the world? Well, with God, nothing's impossible. Is that the kind of grace you're trusting this morning? You know, I'm encouraged by what Mary said here at the end. She said, after it was explained, do you think that satisfied her limited understanding? She still didn't understand how. She didn't know how it was going to be accomplished, right? But listen to her answer. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. There are some people today sitting in church pews. There are some people who need to be sitting in church pews. And they need to understand, as Mary understands. God said, I'm going to do something. Mary said, how is this possible? God said, with God, nothing's impossible. There are people in this world today. I am the worst of the worst. I am the lowest of the low. I'm a sinner. I've done terrible things. I don't deserve love. And so I'm just going to destroy myself. Do you not believe me, church, that there are people in this life with that very attitude? They are participating in self-destructive, absolutely death-bringing activities into their lives, and they are doing it because they don't understand how God could rescue them and redeem them. And I don't either, church. But praise God, I have faith today that I know it's possible. If I trust Jesus this morning, it's possible through His remission of sins, through His blood, I can be saved. And some people need to hear that this morning. It's not about what you're doing. It's not about what you've done. It's not about what you're going to do. It's about what Christ did. It's about what God provided. It's about trusting that and resting in His victory this morning. So could you bow your heads and close your eyes as we close this morning? I just want to tell you, church, if you're guilty this morning, if you're heartbroken, if you're concerned this morning that you've not lived up, well, you know, that's probably true. I certainly have not lived up to what God wants me to be in my life. Definitely. I'll be the first to tell you that. I am a sinner just like everybody else. But I'll tell you right now, there's a grace available that I don't deserve, that has no end. I'll never reach the end of it. I can never sin so much that God's grace can't forgive me. You can't either. And His grace is without limit. There's nothing so big and so bad that'll separate you so far. If the Holy Ghost speaks, that grace is available to you today. So church, would you either, number one, respond in faith and believe what the Lord has said, that His grace is sufficient. With the Lord, nothing is impossible. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are the realities, no matter what Satan wants to say. But then number two, if you already trust that, if you already believe that, can you pray for those who need to be sitting here right now to hear it? This Christmas, God's grace will be on display, whether people are looking for it or not. Can we pray this morning that some soul who desperately needs to see it will see it? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You, God, for the blessings of life. We pray, God, this morning in gratitude that first Christmas, by Your unmerited gracious favor, You chose Mary. And You gave upon her, put upon her this precious gift, this gift that would take away the sins of the world. And we pray, God, it was in gratitude, it was not just a gift to her, it was a gift to the nation of Israel. They have a king who will be our king and who will reign without end. And then finally, God, we just are grateful this morning that it didn't stop with Israel. It is extended now to us. And that this power, this grace that He has, it's without limit. It's sufficient to cover every sin that you and I might participate in. Who needs to believe that, Lord? God, I pray if it's someone here today who needs to believe that, that God, today they'll believe it. Today they'll repent of their sins. Today they'll surrender to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God, if there's someone outside this church who needs to hear it, God, can You fill us with a holy fire? God, help us not to rest until, Lord, we come into contact with the people who desperately need to hear it and tell them about it, God. That's what Christmas is about. A gift of grace was given. Who needs to receive it? Everyone does, God. Can You give us that attitude? Can You give us that outlook? Can You give us that hope? God, we pray to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.